Turn your Bibles to the book of the Proverbs. We're going to continue in passing on wisdom. And it's quite an interesting thing that we find this book of Proverbs, and primarily, particularly here at the beginning of this, is Solomon directly giving his son some wisdom that he wanted to pass on. And of course, it's inspired for us, and so God has that for us to receive, right? So Proverbs chapter 6, I'm going to read the first. We dealt with this last week, and I want to continue a little bit. It says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." So we find here, number one, we talked about this first point is what we talked about last week. Get out of bad deals. Okay? If you find yourself in a bad deal, get out of it. Be diligent. Be diligent to correct your mistakes. Okay, we need to give when we find ourselves in this bad situation. I think it's on purpose that this passage here is, you know, not too particular, right? It's not the situation isn't really. What exactly is going on here? You know, there's a lot there that's kind of left because it kind of talks about this. Whatever situation we find in like this, listen, when you realize you've got into a bad deal, it's a bad situation, get out of it. Okay? The thinking that we could sometimes get is, well, I got myself into it, I got to get myself out of it, and I'm going to just, I made a commitment, I got to keep it. Listen, that is not what we find in the Bible. Now, when we find another place, let your yay be yay and your nay be nay, right? We say, well, the Bible talks about that. When we're talking about a relationship with the Lord, but when we're talking about we've made a foolish thing, we've said something without thinking it through, we find ourselves there a lot. Right, this is a very common thing. When we find that, the answer is get yourself out of it. And how do we do that? Number one, do it with humility. Humility. Do it with humility. We don't go in there, well, hey, you know, and we try to get ourselves out of, you know, I didn't really mean to do that, and you know, you tricked me. And no, he said, listen, we go in there really in this sense of begging and asking, I'm the one at fault here, right? Man, I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you what. It's really something when we become the one that takes the fault. Right? We take the fault. Hey, I've made a mistake here. I shouldn't have done that. And your friend says, well, you know, hey, you're kind of stuck and you just keep going. He said, be diligent. And number two is with that. He says, do not rest until it's been accomplished. Do not rest. And that's what we find there in verse 4. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. And deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Okay, so we see number 2. I want to call it the segue. Okay, we go from that story, and that was last week, so we dealt with that for about a half hour last week. So we're going to just give it a couple of minutes. Now we're going to get into verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Under that, does this lesson on wisdom connect to the previous lesson? Okay, we find this, was this connected to this? Well, I'm not really sure. The Proverbs are written a little different. Okay, the Proverbs aren't necessarily all a story that's connecting a story. It's Some think it's a reference to here causing your friend to be a, here's the blank there, causing your friend to be a sluggard. Under that, taking someone else's responsibility doesn't help them. And that's what we're talking about, being surety for your friend. Taking their responsibility does not help them. Right? Now, helping them helps them. Is that too simple? You see what I'm saying? Helping people helps them. Doing it for them doesn't help them. Right? We could sometimes do it for them. I still remember when I got in the Air Force, I was in my first duty station. I'm trying to figure out my job. I went to tech school. I'm sitting here trying to do this work now. I was a supply guy, but I did it all. It was all computer inputting, and I wasn't a computer guy. I mean, we're talking about, 93, and computers, there weren't a lot of computers, so I'm figuring out how to do this. And I'd say, what do we do when this happens? He was a senior airman. He'd be asked, hey, how do you, and he'd come up, and he'd go, and he'd do it. And I'd ask him again. I said, hey, remember that? How do you do it? He'd come up. I said, could you just show me how to do it? He said, no. He said, knowledge is power. I thought he was messing with me. I said, no, really? So he said, no. So I went to our NCO and I said, hey, I asked him how to show me. He said, knowledge is power. And he wouldn't show me. He said, yeah, that's true. What on earth? I mean, man, I'm like what we call a slick sleeve. I have no stripes. I mean, I'm just new. I thought, wow, this is how this thing goes. And I thought, this isn't how that thing's going to go. What I ended up doing is I studied the regulations myself. And we had them all there. I studied them, read them, learned what to do. And when other people came in, I said, knowledge is... No, I did. You know what I said? I want to show them. I thought, man, what I want to... Listen, giving some... You know what I found out? What I learned? If I show somebody else how to do it, it actually relieves me. Who wants to do it all? But anyway, my point on this thing here is that maybe some people say, well, maybe it's this thing by taking someone else's responsibility, it can make them... Listen, it's a surefire way to cause someone to be a sluggard if you always do it for them. Right? That is not being a very good friend. That is not the kind of friend you want to be. Number two, some tend to think it just continues on with going from one piece of wisdom to another. I kind of see that in a little bit in this sense, because I do this thing. Here you are on number verse 4. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. It makes me think about something. I'll do that with my kids or with other people. I'm talking about something, and next thing it leads to a rabbit. You fall in that rabbit, what I'm saying? And you go and deal with that a little bit, and then you come back. This kind of happens a lot. And we find this situation. I don't know if Solomon did. I mean, if we do it, maybe other men did it the same way. And so we find that, at any rate, look here at number 3, the illustration. Verse 6, again, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Isn't that just strong language, isn't it? I mean, kind of is here. And he says, and consider her ways and be wise. So, he says this, go notice this creature of God and see its lesson. There's a lesson, he said, that go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. He said, I want you to go... Go look at this creature, and there's going to be a lesson there for you. Verse 7, he says, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. So, the ant, then, seemingly has no leader. He said, well, there's the queen. The queen is not really the leader. The queen is the birthing mother of the other ants. Really, it is. She's not the... They protect her. She doesn't protect them. Right? So we don't think of the leader as the queen ant or whatever. So we find this, that the ant has no leader. There's evidently no guidance. No one to rule over or give account to. There's no one to give an account to. Solomon said, go consider the ant. How the ant operates. A, the ant does what it does, not because someone else is causing them to do it. Right? Don't you love that person that you get behind and say, okay, go do that. Tell them what to do. And then you got to check up on them like 8 times a day. Did you do that? Or is it done yet? And we're talking about an adult in employment. come on. What are you doing? Didn't I show you how to do that? Yeah, but okay. You're like, come on. It's better. You ever had somebody you're working with, it would be better if they weren't there? Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, man. I've showed you. He said, but here's what he's talking about. He said, I want you to get this lesson from the ant. There's nobody that's over her. There's nobody that's over the ant. There's no ruler. They do this thing. There is wisdom, a godly character in being self-motivated. So Solomon has given this thought to us, this wisdom to his son, this thing of this godly characteristic of being self-motivated. Listen, self-motivated isn't just a way to be successful in business. Self-motivated is the right type of responsibility when we stand before the Lord. See under there, the godly individual ought not to need the accountability of another to be what they ought to be in Christ. Now listen, notice here I said they shouldn't need it. Doesn't mean we don't, am I my brother's keeper? There's certainly we do some of these things one for another. We encourage one another, and we're not to forsake the assembly. We might exhort one another and so forth like that. But we ought not need somebody to keep encouraging. Hey, you coming to church tonight? You coming to church? Hey, we're going to see you Sunday? you ever feel like sometimes we're begging people to come to church? You know what I mean? Like, man, by the way, I'm not going to stop doing that. Okay, I'm not going to stop doing that because even though people need, I'm not going to beg them, but I'm going to encourage them to come to church. We ought not need that, but unfortunately, a lot of folks do. And that's a bad character. It's a bad characteristic that we would need someone else to be the one kind of behind. Hey, did you read your Bible today? Hey, are you praying? Hey, are you, did you say, it's kind of like if somebody's sitting, my girls come up to, hey, Daddy, did you say good morning to Mama? Oh, I forgot. Yeah, let me go back. And they said, hey, did you kiss your wife goodbye? Oh, I forgot. Let me go back. It'd be weird, wouldn't it? If you had to tell me how to be a husband, it'd be kind of odd. You'd say, man, that guy, he's a mess. Now, there's some guys that need that. You know what I mean? Some guy, that's kind of funny. And some women are like, man, that'd be a blessing. Right? Somebody, I'm just saying, this isn't a good characteristic. It's not a good character. Listen, a godly characteristic is this thing of being self-motivated. But also, number two, the ant provides her meat in the summer. Now, the time of leisure for many is the time of labor for the ant. The ant gathers her food in the harvest. So sometimes what we see as just number three there, a practical lesson on life is actually a lesson on godliness. We're finding these things kind of intersect. Listen, the Bible isn't just, well, that's interesting. This is God giving us something, right? This is God giving us instruction. By the way, that's why it's in this book, right? I mean, it's in here for God to give us something. Now, sometimes it just seems practical and, amen. I like practical. Do you think the Bible has answers for everything? I think so. Do we have to sometimes dig it out a little bit? Yes. Do we have to sometimes submit to it? Always. Right? Do we have to sometimes change our way of thinking? Well, I don't think that means that. You ever done that with the Bible? Well, I don't think it really means that. I've heard people do that. So, well, I just don't think the Bible means that. I interpret it differently. You know, because the Bible is meant for us all to interpret however we want. No, actually it says the scripture is of no private interpretation, right? It means one thing. Now, there might be other applications. Just don't misunderstand. There's other, it could be different applications, but it only means what it means, right? So, look here. We're talking about this thing, this lesson. Some people travel, cruise, and enjoy all types of leisure. Some folks, man, I don't know if you've met some of those people or know. It's like, it seems like they're always on vacation or doing something fun. If they have a Facebook page, it looks like it's a travel guide. You know what I mean? It's like they're doing this, doing that, doing the other thing. Can I just say this right here? So what? You don't always get to do what everyone else does. Man, they just get to do that. Get to. I wish I was. Stop wishing you was like someone else. You know, sometimes what we see is people having a great time is them in their misery, trying to find a way to cover up for it. You know, folks will find ways to cover their misery. The Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes deals with this. Solomon was just looking for a way to find happiness. He looked for it here, looked for it here, looked for another thing, looked for another sin, and another indulgence. And he couldn't find it. What it looked like to the world, man, I wish I had it like he had it. No, you don't. No, you don't. Matter of fact, he doesn't want his sons to have it the way he had it. I just want my kids to have it better than me. Well, that's dumb thinking. That is dumb thinking. I don't want them to have to go through the lessons I learned that got me where I'm at today. Why would we say that? I don't want them to have to suffer. I mean, I understand that. But there's lessons. There's things that God has taken you through to bring you and create you into to transform you into who you are today. Would you want to withhold that from someone else? Hey, I'm going to help you so you don't ever have to have any problems. I mean, on one hand, we're like, yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, I get that. But listen, you don't always get to do what everyone else does. Here's the thing I find. Young couples, they want their first home to be their dream home. Right? You get these young couples, yeah, we just want, you know, like an 8-bedroom house and, you know, 18 bathrooms, you know, you're thinking, wow, you're talking about like people with their, you know, never own home, you know, but they want their dream house from the beginning. No, it doesn't work that way. Listen, you don't, this isn't how, you don't get what everybody else has. It was interesting. You ever hung out with a billionaire? You ever just sat down with the billionaire, had dinner with him, like, hey, you know, maybe you were going through the grocery store or something, you seen him, you had a little chat with him. You know, we just don't do that, right? You know, sat down and, hey, I was just driving by and just thought we would chat. We don't do that here in America. That's not really. They go to places that I don't even know where they're at, you know? And maybe I'm glad for that. I don't know. In Sri Lanka, it was so weird. You would find yourself in the poorest of people would find themselves walking in the same places where the most wealthy in the nation were. It's a smaller nation, about the size of the state of West Virginia, the size of Sri Lanka, the whole country the size of that state. And you know, they would rub shoulders, and I thought, man, that must be tough. You see somebody, I mean, eating a, you know, if we put it in our terms, eating like a $300 meal. And the guy that's over here watching makes like $10, you know, a week. You know, you're just seeing this guy, you know, throwing away food that would have took his annual salary. You know what I'm saying? You're thinking, wow, it's really weird to see that. And that's why you end up getting a lot of beggars in that kind of environment. They're like, wow, you throw away more than I, and you know, this becomes a strange thing. But this is, people live different. So what? That sounds pretty, that's not very nice, but that's just the point. People can live different. There's other people looking at you wishing they had your life, right? So here's the thing. Labor while it's time to labor. Okay? There will come a day when you no longer labor and you wish you could. Okay? It's going to come a day when you can't do what you used to be able to do. And, you know, when I was young, I didn't ever even think about that. I'll be able to do this forever. You know, until you start pulling things and cracking things and things don't work the same and arthritis builds up. And, you know, and I thought, well, I'll still be able to do it. It'll just hurt, right? And then you go past that a little bit and like, wow, the strength isn't even there. You know what I'm saying? And there becomes this thing. Listen, labor while you can labor. Number five, gather when it's harvest time. So this here, under that, do what you ought to do when it's time to do it. Do what you ought to do when it's time to do it. I'll get to it later. I think that's what the slugger would say. I'll get to that. I'll get to that when it's, you know, this is my time to enjoy myself. Right? We'll get to that, you know, later and put it off. And the ant, I mean, the ant's an interesting character. He says, go check out the ant. Go see what, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. Be wise. She doesn't have a guide. There's no overseer or a ruler. Yet she provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. It's be under here. Let me tell you what this isn't. I like to tell you what things aren't, because sometimes we want to get into what they aren't. And we have a tendency to want Scripture to say what we already want it to say. So what we call that reading into it, right? And so, number one, this isn't an instruction to overwork. Okay? It's not an instruction to overwork or give your life to the job or skip church for a purpose. Well, the preacher said, I've got to do harvest while it's harvest, so I can't come to church for the next 3 weeks. Right? Well, the preacher said, we've got to work while, because, you know, one day I'm not going to be able to make all this money, so I've got to get to work. No. Listen. This instruction is for the sluggard. This instruction is for the sluggard. Okay? For the person that is lazy and doesn't want to work. This isn't for the person that's already working and say, see, I told you. I knew the Bible said I had to work, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. No, that's not what this is, folks. I want to say this. I really want us to grab a hold of this. Don't let the Bible be what you already want it to be. Let it be what it is. Okay? That's why reading it in context really helps us. When we take a piece out and we could... That's why people say, I can have the Bible say whatever I want. I like to call it cut and paste Christianity. We kind of cut it out, bring it over here. See? Right? I knew what it said. People do that all the time. This is where we get quirky theology tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine from that kind of stuff. So, it is a bad characteristic. It is not the way a godly person ought to live, being a sluggard. Look at verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? So, number 4, Roman number 4. Sleep, wonderful sleep. Don't you like sleep? Amen? I like sleep. I do like sleep. I don't sleep very well. I don't sleep very well, so sleep, when I sleep well, it's like, you know, I get excited about it. I remember back when I used to sleep because I was tired. You know, when you work hard and you've done stuff and you sleep, and then now, you know, I've kind of got a less of a energetic job and so working. And so listen, the sluggard loves sleep. So watch this. Number one, being lazy causes us to want to be lazier. You ever notice that? You ever notice when you sit around and don't do anything? It's like you have like over Christmas and holidays, you have vacation, you're just like, oh man, I don't want to do anything. And then you sit there, like you've not done anything all day. Once you get up, People that have like sit down and do nothing jobs, or like when you don't, and that sounds rude. It sounds rude. I don't mean that. But when you have a job that doesn't take a lot of activity, man, it wears you out. You know, you get up and you're like, you didn't do anything. I know, but I'm just so tired. And then, you know, your body is kind of just waiting. And my brother-in-law works for United Airlines. And he's a mechanic for United Airlines. Well, thankfully, he doesn't work a lot. I mean, he works a lot of hours, but he doesn't work a lot. I mean, planes aren't breaking that much. That's a good thing, I guess. But as my sister would be like, yeah, he doesn't do anything. He sits around and watches videos on his phone. He gets home, and she gives him grief, of course, as you know, I suppose a wife would. And, you know, he comes home, and he's like tired because he's not done anything. You know, and he's just, and so that laziness, and sometimes laziness isn't, in that kind of situation, it's just something that's the job you have. So it makes you lazier, and it just becomes this, it's hard to, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to get moving when you don't have anything to get you moving. There's this whole thing. It's a terrible downward spiral to get caught into. So the sluggard not only doesn't work, they also don't do many of the other things that godly individuals should be doing. Okay? This isn't just wisdom about making a living, right? It's about developing a lifestyle and characteristic of godliness. So B, the trap for the sluggard. Look at verse 10 now. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Just a little bit more. Right? Just a short little slumber and I'll be ready. Right? Just the snoozing sluggard. Right? You ever got in a habit, you hit that? I mean, we don't hit it anymore. Now I tell Alexa, snooze, Alexa. I like Alexa. She's my friend. And but remember that you'd hit that snooze, and then, man, as soon as you hit it, it's going off again. You hit the snooze. I don't know if anybody does this, but I've seen it on movies sometimes. They'll pick it up and throw it across the room, you know, and this kind of thing. And like, just a little bit more. See, this is the trap for the sluggard, is I want just a little bit more, and there becomes this cycle, this thing, and Solomon's telling us, so don't get caught in that trap. Don't get caught in that thing. Look at number 5. Poverty will come. Poverty will come. Verse 11, the beginning of verse 11, he says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. Okay? One that traveleth, it really means this, it's like a person that is continually walking towards you, that's somebody that's moving towards you. It's like you see poverty coming. It's like it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming after you. This is this thing. It's that poverty is coming for the sluggard. You know, we live in a society today that rewards laziness. Rewards laziness. We pay people, I say we, our government pays people not to be active. Right? And rewards them, says if you'll just, I mean there's a trap in it. You know, people that don't earn their own way, their own living, and get, they don't feel good about themselves. It's not a positive characteristic that it gives you. This is the other part of it. It's not just the money and the being lazy and this kind of thing. It's not just that. It's a whole characteristic, and you'll see. You'll know what I'm talking about. Somebody that goes out there and works for a living, even if it's a modest living, even if it's not a great job, but they're, you know, I earned it. Put my labor in. I earned it. Versus the one that sits on the couch. You know, I used to say watching soap operas. Now I guess playing video games. I don't know. And you know, by the way, that person's probably making more money than the out there one working minimum wage, you know what I'm saying? But they have no self-respect, no dignity. And you know what they end up, I'm not saying this is always the case, but you know what a lot of those end up doing? They end up going taking what other people have. They have no self-respect, no value for what somebody else earned and bought and has, and it becomes this kind of whole thing. It's a downward spiral, it's a trap. And that poverty just keeps coming. Just keeps coming. Under that, it will keep approaching, and there's no escape. There's no escape for the sluggard. The rest of verse 11, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Thy want. So your poverty, your need will come upon you. And number one of the, it will come as an armed man. Maybe we could say like a thief in the night, so to speak, as the Bible talks about that. It's going to come and it's going to grab a hold of you and you're going to find yourself and it's not going to be pleasant. When an armed man comes and takes you, it's not a fun thing. Right? Not going to be pleasant. And here's the thing, you're not going to be able to escape. This thing of the sluggard and what's coming at them, this thing, it's a miserable thing that's coming and it's going to grab them. Now look at number six, the wisdom. The wisdom. So, this is not meant to be hurtful. Okay? A under that. This is not meant to be hurtful. Now who wants to be called a sluggard? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of things you could call me that I'd say, but I mean, if you called me a sluggard and it fit, I wouldn't like it. It hurts. Yeah, the truth hurts. I hate that when that, but if it's true, but here it's not meant to be hurtful. It's not meant to be hurtful. It's not meant to be mean. Just you sluggard, like we're casting some name-calling type of thing. This isn't, you know, that isn't how the Lord works. Listen, Solomon wanted to pass on wisdom to his son. This is what he's wanting to do. Listen, the Lord wants us to receive this wisdom. So number one, it is not necessarily what is coming. Huh? Oh, this is the good news. I don't know if y'all ever seen... I don't really like to do this too much, but it just made me think about it. The Christmas Carol. And that last ghost comes and says, are these things that are coming or are they will be coming? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all ever... He said, listen, this isn't necessarily what is going to be. He said, because this is proverb. This is the way wisdom works. This is something that the sluggard is going to be, this is going to be the trap. This is going to be what a sluggard is going to find themselves into. This is not necessarily what is coming. The last thing, it is what may and is very likely and is very likely to come to the sluggard that will continue on this path. You know what? Solomon isn't sitting here saying, son, you're a waste. I wish you'd never been born. You're just using up my air. You know, this is not what he's saying to his son. He says, son, this is a trap. Listen, you're going to get yourself caught in some bad deals. You've got to get out of it. You've got to get out of it. Listen, you're going to do stupid stuff. And when you do, go get out of it. Don't just suck it up and take it. And then he says this. Listen, he said, this thing, you're going to be, you don't get in this habit of being lazy, being a sluggard, because it's going to come and it's going to get you. And once it grabs a hold of you, it's a spiral. If you've seen people that have gone without work for a long time, it's hard to get back in. It's hard. Something happens. And by the way, it's not just that they stop working. They stop living. Right? There stops being motivation. God has made us this way to be productive. And when we get this thing out of it, by the way, folks, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You're like, man, some of y'all think, man, I'm retired. Should I go back to work? No, listen. The ant, right? She harvested when it was time to harvest, right? There's things in our life. God takes us through seasons. The ant doesn't harvest 365. Okay, there's times, there's seasons we go through. This is the warning. This is the warning that's going to grab a hold of us. So we got to find a way to say, God, I want to have that. I want to just end with this thought. And God, I want to have that self motivation. Let's not just. It will say stuff like this. I'm just not very self-motivated. Can we say it this way? I'm just not very godly in that area. Can we say it like this? I'm not right with God in that area of being self-motivated. That's okay to say. It's true. It's not okay to stay. Say it, and then let it be something that motivates us to say, I've got to be better at that, because God wants, because there's a trap in that thing. There's a trap in needing someone else. You know the only one I should need? It's Him. If I need somebody else, if I need my wife to kick me in the pants to get going all the time, I got a problem, right? Now, if she needs to do that occasionally, that's normal. It's called normal, right? but the thing is, listen, let's see this as God wants us to not get trapped in that. Solomon's passing on wisdom. What a blessing. Isn't it a blessing to just get to listen in on this family, giving it, and God says, I want you to get this. You know, I started this at the beginning. I just want to say, God said, you know, I'm going to give this guy the most wisdom anyone will ever have, and I'm going to have him pass on some wisdom for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. Lord, it is so valuable to us and practical. And Lord, we're thankful tonight, Lord, that you give us not an indictment of judgment, but a warning of what we will bring to our own lives if we don't catch a hold of what you're trying to give us. Thankful for these lessons you give us through your creation. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be what you desire us to be, Lord. We might really develop that self-motivation, that we're motivated by you. Lord, I pray that you'd bless now, and Lord, give us a good week. Lord, pray that we would, as we look forward to Sunday, you would do a work in our midst. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.